Okay, let's call to order the April 15, 2015 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Miller.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
McGill, absent.
Okay. Everyone received, it should have received an agenda before the meeting tonight. Ask for a motion for approval of the agenda if you have no added items.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the agenda as submitted. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We have some minutes, of which most of the people will not recognize them. Linda and I would have been there. So these are clear back from November 5th of 2014. Those were also out there as part of the submittals we went through. Do we have any changes or adjustments to those minutes?
I didn't see anything.
Either. So hearing none, the November 5th, 2014 meeting minutes will stand approved as they were distributed. Do we have any comments from the public today other than for the variance that we're reading? Okay. Then we'll move ahead to the hearing, and in case for people that have not been here procedurally, we will open, in this case, the variance. Staff will give a presentation on their perspective on the findings of facts. They will also communicate to the board any communications from the public, whether those be written or oral, that have been received. We'll make sure that that is there. Then we will ask the applicant to come forward, and that would be up here at the podium, and address name and number and that type of stuff, so we know that. The applicant would have their opportunity to say whatever they wanted. We would then open it up to anybody from the public that was there, and then would allow the applicant to have a final statement if they want, depending upon how that interaction goes. At that point in time, we will close, in this case, the variance as it is, and we'll begin our deliberation. So we will go through, and we have the findings of facts, and you'll see what the procedures are as we go. At that point in time, we do not take additional comments from the public unless we ask for them to come forward. So at that point in time, it's not, somebody says, I'd like to address that. When we're in deliberation, that's just not the process. Then we will go ahead and have a findings at the end. So this will be resolved at the end of the meeting today.
Okay.
And that's our typical process. So with that, we would open up case number VAR01-15, Katamartiri, a variance request, and turn over to staff.
Yeah, this is our first variance request of the year, hence 01 of 15, also known as the Katamartiri variance request. Under the property ownership of Ludovico and Rebecca Katamartiri, of a parcel of 2.64 acres. It's zoned A1 agricultural. It's assessed as residential, and as it contains a single-family dwelling, it's surrounded by commodity cropland and no cities within 2 miles. It's just outside of the M's Urban Fringe Plan area. There you can see surrounding property owner map, which was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the variance request. The subject property is identified there in red. There you can see it's right on county line. And then there you can see Cameron School Road. So it's about a half mile north of Cameron School Road on county line there. The request is for a variance to section 88.7.1 to allow for an additional 2 feet of fence height along the front property line. Our regulations state that in this specific case, in A1 zoning district, that on any lot used for residential purposes, fences and walls not exceeding eight feet in height are permitted within the limits of the side and rear yards. A fence and wall not exceeding 4.5 feet in height in the front. In the case of, we'll skip past that part. In the maximum height of a fence or a wall within the limits of the front yard may be raised to 6 feet if constructed to be non-view obscuring. Parenthetical, what that means is not in excess of 50% opacity when it exceeds 4.5 feet in height. So essentially, it can be 6 feet if it's less than 50% or not in excess of 50% opacity. Which is what the applicant is proposing. Just kind of a little background. The applicant, and this was provided in application materials, which you received as part of your packet. I just got to go through a few notes that they desire to establish an arboretum, which will eventually be open to the public for educational research purposes. Privately held, this is a use allowed in the zoning district and for which the zoning district and county development plan are oriented towards in the area. As in the case with many rural properties throughout the Midwest, deer browse threatens the establishment of such a use on the property. According to the application materials, the applicant has attempted several mitigation measures that have proved to be unsuccessful. Those measures were outlined in detail in the application. I believe the applicant here can speak to that in more detail if you would like. According to the applicant's consultation with several sources on the subject, a fence is the only means, a true means of prevention. Given this, the applicant wishes to establish a temporary perimeter fence around the property that will facilitate the establishment of the vegetation they wish to grow on their property. The fence is proposed to be 8 feet in height, and as 6 feet is not high enough to keep deer on the property, a fence of 8 feet in height is only allowed, again, in the side and rear yards. Kind of a fuzzy picture, but again, these pictures were provided in the application materials. The top picture, you can see what the current view shed of the property is as you look towards the east. And the middle is the applicant's illustration of what a 6-foot fence, which would be currently allowed on the property with 50% opacity. It's kind of hard to see, but there's actually lines in between each of the, essentially kind of your normal ranch style fence. And then the bottom, you can kind of vaguely see what they propose and what the applicant calls a near invisible fence. And I'll kind of get into those details a little bit on and how that may affect the view into the property. Kind of go through these since we have a couple new members on the board. These are the legal principles which the board looks at when addressing variance applications. That in deciding whether or not to grant a variance request, the Board of Adjustments shall consider all the following legal principles, and all the principles shall be satisfied in order for the board to grant a variance request. The first is that there's a finding of unnecessary hardship, that one, the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone, or the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself, and three, that the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality, and B, that granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest, and C, that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. Just general and staff's comments regarding those legal principles. Again, the subject property contains a single-family dwelling and an accessory structure, which generally establishes a reasonable return on the A1 agricultural zone property. The arboretum in which the applicant desires to establish is a use allowed in the zone, on the other hand. The vegetation of an arboretum offers a food to deer that is not found in the immediate vicinity, especially in the winter months. The property is surrounded by commodity cropland. The fence proposed is designed to be unobtrusive and only visible a few feet away, and as exhibited in the application materials, is a near-invisible fence, much more transparent than would be allowed with a 50% opaque 6-foot fence. According to the applicant, this fence is measured at 5 to 7% opacity. Given this, staff notes that the establishment of such a fence would do less to alter the essential character of the locality than what is currently allowed through the ordinance, and may, in fact, to a greater degree achieve the purpose of Story County's fencing regulations than what the current regulations allow. We set surrounding property owner mailings and published in the Story County's newspapers, all in conformance with our regulations, as well as the subject hearing went through our interagency review team, and we received no questions or comments regarding those. So with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives and be happy to answer any questions or talk about any more details.
Any questions for staff on the findings of fact as we go forward? Okay. It's pretty straightforward. So we'd like to turn it over to the applicant tonight.
Hi. Hello?
I think it was presented really, I couldn't have done better myself, really. We moved to Iowa with a hope to really establish, take advantage of the unique characteristics of this state and the unique opportunities that are available here of having, at our young age, have access to sort of a piece of land that would allow us to create something as nice as an arboretum. But we found this kind of unexpected difficulty in getting stuff started, in the sense that it's just every winter month things have been decimated really by deer, in addition to the winter that, which have been particularly nasty the past two. So, as I've described in the application, there. We've tried several approaches, Irish spring soap, trash bags, all sorts of possibilities, and none of that provided sufficient protection, really, and they all came at really substantial financial costs. So we investigated, we made acquaintances with arboretum directors, and they said the only possibility is really a fence, as it has been shown in, even at the Iowa Arboretum in Madrid, they have a fence, and that has basically resolved their problems. What I actually found is that it's possible to get fences that are even less visible than ones that are now installed at the Iowa Arboretum, that are black plastic, so it won't be visible unless you really get very, very, very close to it. And they are temporary, so that they can be removed without leaving absolutely any trace to the soil and to the landscape. So this is this would be something that would essentially resolve a problem that is just a little bit outside of the currently allowed characteristics in terms of height, just purely in terms of height.
Two questions that come to mind. Okay, so we're talking about a black plastic fence,
yeah.
You know, with a small amount of opacity. I've seen some things like that put in. I mean, what's the tensile strength of this black plastic? Because you're going to have deer running into it.
Yeah, so this is essentially heavy duty deer fencing. So this is specialized deer fencing.
So this is designed, this material is designed for that. Okay.
Gotcha. Deer. I presume that if I deer, it's designed to really prevent the deer running through it, it would essentially be prevented from getting in. But it's not one of those really things.
I didn't know if it was something you were just putting together or how much research you had done to it.
Yeah, this is from a company, actually, from a friend of mine. He's fencing. And they specialize in deer fencing, and because exactly this type of issue
right.
That's in all over the country.
So how are you dealing with the driveway?
With
the driveway?
The driveway that will be a gate again, also with in black.
Okay.
The gate will be open throughout the day. Normally, it closed at night.
So it's a swinging gate, and you would open it in the morning when you left, and
it would
stay until you got home at night and
right.
close it back
right.
up again. Okay.
That's just something I didn't see in there.
It was in his letter that he presented to us. I just have a quick question. You mentioned that it would be temporary. How long do you think it would be up?
Okay, so that depends on so the trees and most bushes would be at a certain point they would become essentially they won't need further protection. Flowers and stuff always in theory would need protection no matter. That would depend on how the algorithm will develop. I mean, we expect that, especially the front of the property will become essentially a wooded area. It's intended as a essentially nearly a wooded area, so it would be quite shaded. So I think flowers in front would not be would be hard to get any flowers really grow there at some point. We're talking maybe 20 years down the line. It's the reason why I think it's important for that to be temporary, is that it can be removed without leaving the race, is that over the time scale of the establishment of an arboretum, we might find ways in which we can deter deer from entering the property that doesn't require a fence at all. So we might find a new solution to this problem that, so that we can, for example, remove the fence and still prevent the deer from coming in. But at present, that technology just isn't there. But at the same time, I don't want to leave concrete pillars in the ground, because that's not what we're trying to achieve.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. So now is a point where we will close the variance VAR 01-15 for purposes of deliberation. As you can tell, and in the stuff that staff said, we have to go through this in a somewhat prescripted way. So that's why the first we will deal with the findings of fact. Then we will deal with the decision, which we already have the criteria that we have to put in front of us, and then finally we will have an order. So the first part would be the findings of facts, and this is pretty much the subject of the staff report, and if we have any additional items that would need to be added or with some gap that was in there, this would be the time that we would add those.
So I move that we adopt the findings and fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Scarlett and a second from Youngberg to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to Story County Zoning Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Okay, then we have to go to the analysis of the legal principles. In moving towards the decision, I've got a kind of a single question for staff. In the variance, inevitably the hardest item to begin to deal with is A1.
Mm-hmm.
And the findings of A1 basically means that there really has to be a true hardship there, such that your property won't be worth what it is. You know, you're going to be harmed in some manner. However, in the past, Ryan and Charlie, we have come under situations like this where we have determined that A1 did not really apply to this circumstance. Isn't that essentially the case?
Yeah.
Okay. So once you get past that, A2, that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances, well, that's the deer. I mean, not everybody has them, and then some people do. And the use of the authorized variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. I think staff has addressed that as we go. Granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest and then the spirit and intent of the Story County land rake. So I believe if we can convince ourselves that in this particular case that the land in question will yield a reasonable return, that we think that A1 does not apply in this case, that would then probably open it up for us to go to the actual order.
Okay.
And I just want to clarify for the two new individuals, too. The reason we have said in the past that A1 has not applied is when reasonable return has already been established on the property. So in this case, and Ryan pointed it out in his presentation, that there is a house and an accessory building on the property, so reasonable return has already been established. Since it has already been established, obviously you can't make the argument that this variance is needed to establish reasonable return. It's, you know, I guess I'm trying to think. It's kind of a way to make that A1 really work in a lot of our variance requests, because to be quite honest, it's a really hard legal principle to meet in general. So
I was going to say, complicated.
Yeah.
Which is why, but we still have to address, according to the policy, we have to address all of these, and so we have to place it aside. So if I could get a motion
to approve
with the understanding that A1 does not apply.
I move to approve the decision as outlined in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, with the addition that A1 does not apply in this case.
Second.
We have a motion from Scarlett and a second from Youngberg to approve the decision as outlined in the staff report prepared and presented to Story County Bus Board of Adjustments, with the understanding that item A1 does not apply to this particular case. Roll, please.
Miller?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
So in this case, we don't have any additional criteria, clauses, or adjustments to this, and so we can turn around and move for our order then.
I move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number VAR-0115. As discussed by the Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied.
Second.
So we have a motion from Scarlett and a second from Youngberg to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number VAR-01-15. As discussed tonight by the Board of Adjustments and is in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied. Roll, please.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. You have your variance.
Yay, you can go build a fence now today.
We'll get your permit first.
So would this be an appropriate time that, the one thing I found interesting in all this, the reporting on this, is that, in essence, this type of fence leaves a far smaller footprint than what is established. So is it this board's suggestion to you guys to maybe add something of this nature into the variance or what do you want to call it?
The code of ordinances.
Yeah, the code of ordinances, so that...
Being a rookie board of adjustment member, you're well ahead of...
Right.
It's already been discussed.
I have a lot of common sense.
I've always been of the opinion since I've been here, when you start seeing variances for the same thing over and over again, at that point it is definitely time to make a change to your ordinance. We have not, as I can recall, I don't think we've ever, first of all, seen a fencing variance, but nothing quite like this one. However, that does not mean that we can't look at some sort of change in the future, because realistically, and again, as Ryan pointed out through a staff report, that this type of fence at that type of opacity is far less intrusive than what our regulations require. So, we can look at some type of performance measures, I think, in our regulations that, based off the percent opacity, you can increase, 4 inches, 6 inches for each 10% opacacity. I'm just throwing out some examples that we could definitely look at, but if the Board of Adjustment would like to direct staff to look into that, we most definitely will.
That's where I was already going to be. It's so we don't have to be terribly formal at this as we go down through it, but yes, I would like to, and we'll vote on this to make sure we're all together, to direct the staff to draft a letter Generally speaking, we have to send this to the Board of Supervisors because it goes up and then trickles back down again.
Okay.
And so we'll do a couple of these a year. It's not unusual. But that gives staff a chance to think, you know, what do you want to do with opacity and height and, you know, do you have a matrix? Do you have whatever, whatever? If you bring back to us a draft letter the next time that we meet for our signature, we would appreciate that because it does make a lot of sense. And in this case, I appreciate the applicant used some, you know, ingenuity in trying to find the problem and yet was very cognizant of the criteria. And we appreciate that. So all in favor of that, indicate aye.
Aye.
Okay. Get that on the record.
And I'm excited to, I've lived here a long time already, but I plan on being here a long time, so I hope everything gets replanted and gets going, and we'll look forward to taking my grandchildren out there.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
Great presentation. Thank you. It made it very easy.
We have any information from the staff this evening?
The one thing I do want to point out, we get into our annual inspections and our biannual annual reviews of what we ever made. Again, for the new people, we have a lot of conditional use permits out there, and some of the conditions on them are that we look at these conditional use permits every year, every 2 years, whatever it may be, and report back to the board. One unique one that we do have that did need some attention previously was an annual inspection to want there's three conditional use permits on the gravel extraction at Interstate 35 and Highway 30 there. It's Hallett's material out there that's mining out of that zone. And one of those three requires an annual inspection, and it's one of the three that really has yet to be tapped into. And I guess I shouldn't say that because last year they did have a situation come up where they did need to tap into some of those reserves. So through that inspection, I did meet with a representative from Hallett's last week and kind of just discussed the conditions on their permit, seeing where there are in that. Just want to inform the board, I think those conditional use permits were valid out through, I believe, 2036, I want to say was the year, when they first took out those conditional use permits in the early 90s. That's about how long they thought they would have materials. I'm gathering information from them that says that they're now thinking that they may be extracting out of there up till about 2070. So it's going to be a while out there. But just so you know, just because of that date, at some point between now and 2036, I'm assuming we all won't be here anymore, but at some point there, they may need to bring out a new conditional use permit and kind of look at some changes out in that area. So that's really all I have to report on that. We have not seen any modifications to conditional use permits since the last time we met. The only other thing, and Ms. Youngberg brought this up kind of with our recommendations that we give. We don't give recommendations to the Board of Adjustment. Earlier this year, we kind of brought that issue to the Planning and Zoning Commission. They have now started asking staff to recommend on applications. And again, in my opinion, with the Board of Adjustments, it's a little bit more unique of a situation where I'm not sure it's appropriate for us to recommend, but just wanted to verify, I guess, that with the Board of Adjustment, if you're fine the way we've been doing it through the years, or if you want to see any changes there.
You know, because we're quasi-judicial in nature, I'd almost rather keep it the way that it is.
Yeah.
If I just was given my preference.
I mean, we're pretty open in talking, asking you guys questions, and you know.
Yeah, and exactly. You know, if there's ever a particular situation where you need to say, "Hey, what does staff think in this situation?" I'll be honest. Every application that we have a feeling of how it should go. We just obviously don't make that feeling public. So, if you ever want us to make it public, feel free to ask at any meeting.
In some of the cases that come before us, we struggle with it because it's a reasonable request, but the criteria is really, really tough.
Hard to get around.
And so sometimes we have to get a little bit inventive to try to come up with some solution. So we tried hard to do that, and it's in some cases it's just, I mean, a young couple that we had that built their own addition on their house, and it was ultimately they had to prove that the survey was wrong. But I mean, it was a young couple put all their own money and time in to do this, and it certainly appeared to be invalid according to the regs, and I mean they just were broken, and we worked hard to try to come up with something, and finally it came up as, you know, you really need to go out and resurvey because even where this stuff is, and there was a cul-de-sac there, and those things are never put in when you go out. I mean, they're rough graded, and you go. So you don't know that the line is here or there, and we weren't talking about very much difference. So sometimes you've got to be creative.
You will see a lot of times with the Board of Adjustment, too, and again, this is for the newer members, that a lot of times there's always a solution to a problem. It just seems that the variance sometimes is the least expensive option to that. So a lot of people will first try for the variance, you know, thinking that I'm going to, you know, invest the least amount of money forward. But again, sometimes there's more costly alternatives. Knowing that too, one other comment I will point out is back in July, I think the Board of Adjustment reviewed some variances for Casey's General Store up on the Gilbert Corner. And just to update you on that whole thing, they did purchase additional land to the rear of the property to meet a rear setback, and then asked for a code amendment to make the gas station canopy work, and that was approved by the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors is going to be hopefully approving their final site plan next Tuesday at their meeting, so that station should, the construction there should be starting here, I would imagine, within the next month or so.
Are they going to tear down the existing building in order to move it?
No. Really? No, well, they will eventually tear down the existing building, but if you look at the site plan, the new building is pretty much going to touch the the north wall of the new building will touch the south wall of the existing building, so they'll keep the one building open while they're doing the work on the other. And that, if you're familiar with the area up there, there's an office building and then the old suburban restaurant, and that's all
that the direction they're moving to.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give us an update on Vetters, because I saw an end loader out there.
Yeah, they asked for Vetter Equipment on Highway 30. They asked for some code amendments to our signage regulations. Actually, the Board of Adjustment wrote a letter to the Board of Supervisors asking for some code amendments, and we kind of compared our regulations to what a lot of neighboring jurisdictions had and found that there was a lot of areas we can make changes to kind of meet their request. Ironically enough, after we made those changes, they brought in a sign request that met our previous regulations because they downsized it. So a lot of work for nothing, but at the same time, at least we know our regulations now are in line with other jurisdictions and other neighboring jurisdictions. But I did see that they're starting some of that work. I don't know if we've inspected that yet or not, but we'll need to make sure that we take care of that. I don't know how far along they are.
Some of our concerns on there is the current rates say that it's the additive of all the signs.
Right.
And we were a little bit uncomfortable because there's a sign in the back that says deliveries back here, which we didn't really think was the intent of advertising. It's just directing. You know.
And even on that point, too, we did kind of find out through the process of our Planning and Zoning Commission that we say internal and external signs, and on the face of that definition, it seems like internal signs are signs that are on are inside a building, and external signs are the signs that are outside of a building. However, those definitions, when you read into them, actually internal is meant to display to internal traffic, where external is meant to display to exterior traffic. So that kind of it's still their request still didn't work into the signage requirements, just because they were still over on the square footage. But for future reference, you know that. So
that's great.
Thank you for making the first case kind of a no-brainer.
That was nothing we did. Nothing we did. Nothing that we did. So.
But your guidance has been very insightful also. Make no mistake.
There's nothing else, then we'll stand adjourned. Thank you.
All right.